It's time to shake out your money-making truth. You're listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Have you ever wondered why some people work really hard for their money while others live lives of joy and abundance with seemingly little effort? You are about to learn powerful, tangible steps to shifting your mindset and connecting to your flow of money and abundance. Jennifer teaches you to connect to who you are at a soul level and how to use that connection to create a personal and specific relationship with money. Learn how money is a powerful tool to achieve your desires and your desires to then serve the world. So shake out your money-making truth right now. Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom.
Hello, everybody. I'm Jennifer Bloom, host of Soul Wisdom Abundance, Create Wealth Through Spiritual Health. I'm delighted that you are joining us today. We've got a really important conversation to have. And by important, I mean timely. And my guest, who I'll introduce in just a moment, she and I are going to be talking about how to stay sane when you don't know the how. And basically what that means is when you are swimming in the chaos, when you're in a time of unknown or uncertainty, and you know that you want to move forward, but you don't have a clue how to do that, that's what we're talking about today. And, you know, it really is timely. I don't know that most of us, I don't think, have ever lived through a time as uncertain and as unknown as now. I lived through 9/11, but somehow that was just a little bit different, as terrifying as that was. This has a different quality to it. There are so many aspects of our lives that are different, and there's no time frame on it. Keeps it feeling really, there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of angst and uncertainty around it. And, you know, as individual of a time, as unique of a time as that is in our world, we all have times in our lives, I think, that mirror things like the same kinds of feelings, right? We have times of crisis. We have times when we know we need to shift and change, but we're not sure how to do that. And my guest has had the fortune to live through a couple of these times of crises. But the fortunate aspect of that is as she's come through these times of personal crisis, she's done it in a very conscious way and has really learned how to move through this time in a way that keeps you sane. It keeps you moving forward. So I'm really glad that we're going to get a chance to have a conversation today. So let me introduce you to her and let's get the conversation going. So let me introduce you to Stacy Hope Small. Stacy is the founder of Elite Travel International, a 15-year-old global luxury travel firm and a former magazine editor and travel journalist. She's a graduate of the S.I. Neuhaus School of Communications at Syracuse University and is the author of the book, Why Not Me? 12 Lessons a Year on an Island Taught Me About Living My Dreams and How You Can Live Yours Too. She's a serial dog rescuer, and I think we've got somebody in the background back there, which is fantastic, and a master Reiki healer. Stacy currently lives on Maui, where she offers distance energy and Reiki healing, spiritual coaching, and personalized prescriptions for peace and joy. Stacy, welcome. I'm delighted that we get a chance to talk today.
Yeah, me too. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, you and I have chatted several times over the last 3 weeks or so as we've prepared for our conversation, and the world has been different. Life has been different every single time that we've talked, and I think probably today is no different. But where I'd love to start is for you to share a little bit with us about the challenges that you went through that led to these lessons that you learned and shared about in your book. And I'm particularly curious, you know, as you're sharing with us, if you can talk a little bit about sort of that moment or moments, probably more accurately, when you knew you needed something different, right? And sort of what was that spark that helped you move forward, right? Instead of just sort of spinning in the chaos.
Yeah, I think you know, we all have those moments that we look back on and we say, what was it that really, you know, did change my life? And when did I make that decision? For me, it was watching my mom die in the hospital in 2014, February 2nd, being part of that conscious decision to let her go in peace after an 18-year battle with breast cancer. And I lost my dad 7 years earlier. So the reality of having no parents, being the CEO of a company that I was still trying to just really get off the ground, and it just started to really take off. So I was the CEO of a company. I was facing losing my mom. I was traveling a lot, and the stress of all of that, I just felt like that was a day when everything, where I knew life had to be different. And I did try for a while to kind of keep up with it, but it's impossible, because as I learned and as what I've tried to teach others, if you don't process the grief and you don't live through the feelings that come along with shock and trauma, you can't get through life in a happy, peaceful way. So in 2016, I had attended a few retreats with Deepak Chopra. I started reading everything I could that resonated by Dyer, Louise Hay, things that brought me some comfort, Rebecca Rosen, who was a medium. I ended up getting some messages from my parents that became comforting. And I was on Maui in 2016 at a retreat, and I just saw Maui like in neon lights, and it signaled me, and it's when I really started tuning in that I needed to just follow the signs. And next thing I knew, I had rented a house, and I didn't know how things were going to turn out, but I spent the next year and a half focusing on my own health and wellness and my spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical health. I had some health issues, mono, things that were, you know, holdovers from traveling the world that I never contended with. So I just really took that year, 2016 and 17, to focus on my health and wellness. And that's when everything really shifted. And it's led to me now, here I am on Maui again, amidst all this, the world is spinning. I've already been through my own world spinning. Now the whole world is spinning. Yeah. So I feel a little better equipped because I've built up a toolbox and I know what I need to do to keep myself sane and share with others what they can be doing during this time too.
That's beautiful. You know, and I say it's beautiful, but that's looking at it from the big picture, right? In those individual moments, there's a lot of pain and suffering. It's so important what you said though about acknowledging all of those emotions, because I think one of the things that we try to do when either it's our personal life or the world is spinning is we go, oh, I'm feeling terrified. I'm feeling uncertain. I feel like I'm going to vomit, and go, nope. I'm a spiritual person. I have to rise above. This is time of expansion. And so I really need to be feeling positive. And yeah, that's not inaccurate, but those feelings have a sneaky way of shooting out sideways if we don't deal with them.
Yeah. I think 3 weeks ago when you and I spoke for the first time, that was the day that my world, that's the day that everybody canceled their travel. So you and I were having a conversation as the world was about to implode as I knew it. And within a week, every single client that I had travel on the books for the next 6 months disappeared. So now I'm in a totally new place where I don't know when people are going to be able to travel again. I don't know when my income is going to come back. So now is the time to really take that fear and transmute it into excitement for the unknown. And this is something I've really been working on, that fear and excitement often do feel the same. And there's a part of me that for a long time has really wanted a break from being on call 24/7 for years. I mean, I love what I do and I'm there to help our clients, but that's a 24/7 role. So now embracing free time to take longer walks with my dog, do yoga every day, focus on my health, eat healthy, all the things that we say as spiritual people that we're going to do because we know it's what we need to do, but now we really have no excuse not to do any of that, because that's how we're going to get through this, not stressing about the fear of the unknown or worrying about where the income is going to come back and when.
Yeah, you know, I talk about it as time travel, that as human beings, we like to time travel. We like to go off into the future and predict and worry, or we time travel to the past where we angst over what has happened and feel that pain, and we draw both of those into our present moment, right? And it's natural to do some of that, but if we can allow ourselves to recognize when we're doing that, right? That's when it's like, okay, wait a minute. No, I don't want to do that. I have enough going on. I have enough on my plate right now. I do not need to add what's going to happen in 3 months. I do not need to go back and relive what happened 2 months ago or a year ago. And it can be helpful to draw yourself back into the present moment and say, okay, what can I do today?
Yeah. That is, I always go back to something I heard Wayne Dyer say, is that nobody can have a different or better past. So you might as well let it go and just focus on moving forward, because it doesn't really matter who I was, you know, last year, 5 years ago, what my identity was, how much money I made. And living on Maui is a beautiful reminder of that, because nobody cares really what you do here, what you drive, how you make your money. Everybody's equal. So when the world is spinning and everybody's freaking out about the loss of their, you know, possible income and possessions, I've already come to terms with that. I actually sold off about 80% of my stuff and moved back here in January to live a simpler life. And that was before I knew that all this was coming down the pike. So if I got the memo, it was like, you know, simplify your life a little bit, because things are about to change. And I think my body knew it before my mind did. I think there were some signals now. I'm like, there's definitely a reason that I hurried up and got here in January when I originally thought I was going to come in April. That wouldn't have worked.
Yeah. You know, I think, and, you know, in our next segment, I want to talk more specifically about some of the lessons that you learned. I know you're sort of threading them in here as we talk. I can hear some of what I read from you. But what I think is really interesting, and something I want to point out, is that when you take the time to really embody the lessons, so to speak, and we'll talk about that again in the next segment. When you embody these techniques and mental, what's the word I'm looking for? These mental focuses, I think that we end up with solutions before the problem even comes, right? So you talked about watching the signs but also saying, hey, you know, my body knew something was coming before my mind could articulate it, and having the faith to and the trust to step out and do something different. But that's the advantage of putting your time in and really not just listening or reading what Deepak Chopra has to say or any of our other wonderful teachers have to say, but then living them, right? Yeah. Embodying them and taking the chances to do that.
Yeah, that's always been super important to me, is that I have to practice what I preach and teach and inspire by inspiring others, not really like just saying I'm going to do things. It's not about that. It's living what I do believe. And those lessons are lessons to myself and for anybody else who wants to follow along, that's great. But that's how I'm able to get through this situation, I think, a little calmer maybe than others.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I know we've got you've got a lot to share as far as what you learned, and I'm looking forward to doing that. But first, we are going to take a quick break. You're listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with me, your host, Jennifer Bloom, on Transformation Talk Radio. And as I said, as we come back, we will talk through some of these lessons that Stacey wants to share with us. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Yeah, yippee skippy to that, baby. We're not done yet. Some of us are out here to educate and inspire. This year, 2020, is the year we gotta show me the money in the cash flow. I'm Dr. Pat. This is the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By.
Visit thedrpatshow.com. It's time to shake out your money-making truth on Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show is more than your roadmap to success. It's your compass to abundance through joy and ease. Jennifer Bloom teaches you about the soul's relationship to money and wealth and how improving that relationship serves both you and the world. Learn more at JenniferBloom.com.
Do you drive yourself crazy trying to make important decisions? And when you finally do, then you start second-guessing yourself. Would you like to know why you do this and how to change it? You can. When you take time to go inward, you'll find a wisdom that resides in the body. Begin by quieting your mind and sending your awareness into your body. Notice where there may be a discomfort. Ask it what it wants you to know. Listen carefully. It will reveal what it is about making this decision which holds you back. You can keep asking for information until you reach the deep core value of what keeps you from comfortably making a decision and sticking with it. Awareness is the first step toward making change. I'm Carrie Kadambi, and I'd love for you to join me on Transformation Talk Radio for my show, A Spirited Exchange. For more information about me, visit my website, thedivineguidancegift.com.
Hi, this is Kimberly Carlson, and I would love for you to tune in to All In Healing Radio, where together we will begin to experience health, happiness, and harmony in all areas and aspects of life. Join us every first Tuesday of the month at 11 a.m. on TransformationTalkRadio.com. All In Healing will help you release layers of negative beliefs and energies for radiant health, deep joy, and greater abundance. Visit me at KimberlyCarlson.com.
Oh, hello, we're back on Soul Wisdom Abundance with me, your host, Jennifer Bloom, and my guest, Stacey Small. We are going to chat in this segment about some of the lessons that Stacey has learned and what she shared in her latest book. And before we do that, Stacey, what I would love for you to do, can you share a little bit about how our listeners can get in touch with you if they have questions or want to learn more about your work in the world?
Yeah, sure. That's why I'm on email a lot. Stacy, S-T-A-C-Y, Maui at charter.net. You can also find me on Instagram at Stacy Hope Small. It's probably the best one. Send me a message. And I have a Facebook page at author Stacy Hope Small. So you can find me on social media or send me an email.
Super. And I also know that you has offered to give away a few of your books to a few of our listeners. What would be the best way for them to contact you about wanting a copy?
I think send me an email and let me know why you'd like to read this book, and I will give 5 copies away next week. I'll send them out.
Fantastic. Yeah, no, it's great. I've got mine right here. All right. So let's talk specifically about a few of the things that you have learned and you are continuing to put into practice as this global situation continues to evolve. So I think maybe one of the best places to start is the one you say is the bigger the storm, the brighter the rainbow. Is that okay to start there?
Well, yeah, I live on an island where it rains a lot, which was a surprise to me because you think Hawaii is sunny all the time, but it rains. It's a tropical island, and I've never loved the rain, but I've had to embrace it. And the beautiful thing is that every time it rains, there's a rainbow. So there was that metaphor. And then also for me, it's a personal connection because my mom loved that song, Summer Over the Rainbow. I think she just had this fantasy someday that life would be better because life was not always easy growing up for us. And she just would play that song on the piano a lot. And I never really made the connection until I was an adult. And I started traveling. And it was like right after she passed away, I heard that song everywhere I went. So whether I was in Venice, Shanghai, I now have recollection, you know, South Africa, all these places where I would just hear the band or hear it in the background. Like it was a signal that my mom was with me no matter where I was traveling. So now living on Maui, I see a rainbow at least every single day. I'm always posting photos on my Instagram because it's just a reminder that it doesn't matter what kind of storm we're going through. There's a bright, bright rainbow that shows up, and it reminds me that my mom is with me, but it also that everything is okay and that we are safe.
Yeah. Love it. You know, as you say that, I'm thinking about one of my favorite songs. Happens to be Kermit the Frog, right? Rainbow Connection, right? Mm-hmm. I love that message. but anyway, so here's a question I have for you, because you know, I think you know when we are in times of pain and suffering, some of the lessons and as you know, some of these things that you are learning, which are so powerful, right? That it's so powerful to be watching and always getting these signals that says, look, there is something that's coming. We, as you move through this, there is something amazing on the other side. You know, but I think that sometimes when we are really in that place of pain and suffering, sometimes it can sound like a platitude. Right. So, and I'm not saying that to diminish, and you know, because these are really important things. So how do you stay connected to the real truth of what you've learned, as opposed to, you know, somebody just sort of saying, you'll be better for it, or, you know, whatever things people tend to throw out at times like this.
Yeah, I try to be really careful with that because I'm super sensitive myself, and I don't like people. I found a lot of people telling me just to kind of get over it and ask me to come back to work after my mom died. And I thought, there's no answer here. I ended up needing like a good 6 to 8 months to really get back on track with being able to run my business during that time. I couldn't explain that to anyone, and there were people judging me, and I've had to do a lot of work to learn to tune that out. So if I feel other people's energy or feel some judgment, that's them, not me. I think that's a deep fear or something that they're contending with. So I try to be super sensitive. I never say to someone, oh, just get over it or calm down or it's going to be fine. I try to inspire by living what I know has helped me, which stepping outside, being in nature. Some days I just need to sleep all day. I'm really tired. I don't need to explain myself. I just put my out of office on and I take naps for the day and wake up feeling better the next day.
Yeah, that permission, right? To live it as you need to live it, right? You know, I think that's so important. You know, in my early career, of when I was working for myself, I started out as an occupational therapist, and then I transitioned into working with women's health, and I did a lot of working with women who were trying to conceive. And, you know, there's a lot of platitudes that get tossed at women who are trying to have babies, and it's God's will, blah blah blah. I mean, there's and I was teaching some of these, the essence of some of these lessons that you're speaking about, but the thing that I always made sure to tell somebody is, look, this can't come from me. This is something that you have to decide, right? You have to feel the truth of it, and then you can live it. And I can, as you said, I can show you by walking my talk. I can show you through examples of other people. But I just want to make sure that we're giving permission to everybody to say, look, you get to, this is something that has to come from the inside out. And it's so helpful to have somebody to lay breadcrumbs, or rocks or boulders, as you've done in your book, right? These really big signs. But again, to give permission for it to come first from inside.
Yeah, and I find that resonates with people, because the last thing I want to do is tell people what to do. That never worked with people trying to tell me what to do.
Yeah, right.
I want to guide people through this, maybe in an easier way now that I have done the work and I can curate a program for them. When I say personal prescription for peace and joy, that's what I mean. It's how can I help you find more peace and more joy in your life? It's not going to mirror exactly what I've done for myself, but I'm going to guide you. Maybe I'll help you find a natural path wherever you live. Maybe I will steer you to a couple of the types of healers that I work with here on Maui. So nobody guided me down the path. It was kind of a long year and a half of trying to clear it all out. But now that I have that experience, I want to customize it and help people figure out what's accessible to them, what they feel comfortable with. Not everyone's spiritual, you know, and we can't force that on anyone. I can't manifest things for people. I can't teach someone how to meditate if they're not open to receiving it. I can just put the suggestions, and like you said, guide them down the path, and then it's up to them to decide what they want to receive.
Love it. I love it. Right. There's no need to reinvent the wheel, right? There's, you know, you walk through it on your own, and to be able to provide that wisdom to somebody else is so helpful. And then it's up to them, right? They can follow it. They can follow it or not. But giving them the permission to live it as they want to live it.
Yeah. And I think in times like this, I mean, this is unprecedented times that people are just spinning. And talk to friends with kids at home and kids with, you know, home from college. The circumstances are so different than anybody has ever lived through or expected. And nobody knows what to do right now. Not even us. We're just sort of working our way through it too. We might have a few more tools and we know how to keep ourselves calm, but the population at large is spinning right now, and they need people to, like us, to guide them more than ever. So I'm feeling like this is going to be a wake-up call for those that didn't know they needed a wake-up call. It's been forced on everybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then you get to take from it what you want, and I think about all of us who have some tools in our toolkit. If we can, you know, I just had this vision of chaos, you know, just sort of doing this, and then the more of us who can stay a little bit more centered, and it really isn't about staying centered. It's about coming back to center too, don't you think? Right? I mean, it goes back to the point you were making earlier about how you got to feel those feelings. You've got to feel the fear. You've got to feel the grief. And there's a lot of grief that I think is being expressed right now. I've got college age kids home. I have a son who's worked really hard on a chemical engineering degree who's not going to get to walk across the stage. And in the scope of things, you know, yes, he has a job to go to when he's done, which is fantastic. Others aren't quite so fortunate, but it's one of those life moments, right, where we get to acknowledge him. And there's some grieving to do there. So again, as we were saying, move through those feelings, but then give yourself permission to keep coming back to center instead of like, nope, I just have to be the steady person who's just always going to feel uplifted and expanded. No, I'm going to feel it and I'm going to come back to being that person. All right. It's more permission giving.
Yeah. The grief is a big one. And I am in touch with it because I've experienced a lot of it and I do know what that feels like. And I also know how to move through it. So my sense is a lot of people don't know how to move through it. And when you're grieving a loss of income, your loss of stability, loss of control, loss of the unknown, so much, this is when people really need to work with people like us that can walk them through it. And it's temporary. Grief passes. It's a terrible feeling unless you're going through it. But as we know, it does, you do move through it. And you do come out on the other side a bit more evolved.
Yeah. Do you have... I don't know, quick tip and grief don't necessarily go together, but do you have something that people can start with when they're looking at releasing some grief?
I mean, my favorites are get outside, sunshine, walk. There's nothing better than a walk by the ocean if you live there. I have 3 rescue dogs for a reason, because one more than enough. I need love. So whether it's your kids or your dogs, make sure you're surrounding yourself by people that uplift you and talking on the phone and just, now is not the time to spend time with those friends that you don't feel good around. Only spend time with the people that you're really feeling positive and that you can be yourself with, because otherwise it's impossible. That would probably be my big tip.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, nature of any kind. I'm in Minneapolis, St. Paul, so I don't have an ocean, but I do have a lot of trees. I've got the Mississippi. I've got numerous parks with lakes, and water to me is something that is so healing. And water is the emotional body, right? When we look at the elements, water is going to mirror back to us what we're feeling. So getting out there, I love going up to Lake Superior, right? This great big Mother Earth body of water, and she just takes whatever I offer, right? I don't often float in that lake. It's awfully cold, but I can get my toes in it, or I can just be by it. And it absorbs, right? So, and recognizing that I need it is one of those steps. All right. So we're going to pause here and take another break. And when we come back, let's talk more lessons. Okay. So for now, this is Jennifer Bloom on Soul Wisdom Abundance on Transformation Talk Radio. And we'll be back.
Have you ever wondered what your pets think about? Do you know what your pets are saying to you? Dr. Monica will be your pet's translator to help you understand what your pets are trying to communicate to you. Enhance the bond with your furry friends on Pets Talk with pet communicator Dr. Monica each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Dr. Monica, visit PetCommunicator.com.
Get your goddess groove on with me, Laura Hosford. Tune in every Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where I offer you authentic channel messages of love, inspiration, and heart-healing grace. Get your goddess groove on. When the goddess speaks, everyone listens. For more information, visit LauraHosford.com. That's LauraHosford.com.
What would you do with the power of community? How do you create your own rituals? Tune in to Living Your Gifts with me, Susan Huff, Ancient Applications for Modern Times, the second Wednesday of each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Our lives begin with the stories we are told and the stories we tell ourselves. Storytelling is the key. To learn more about me, visit livingyourgifts.com. That's livingyourgifts.com.
We're back on Soul Wisdom Abundance, Create Wealth Through Spiritual Health. And I'm your host, Jennifer Bloom, and we're here with Stacy Small. And Stacy and I have been talking about how to manage the chaos, how to stay sane, how to keep moving forward. And so, you know, we've been talking about it both from an individual perspective and also this global perspective, which of course is so important for our time right now. All right. So Stacy, how about if we kind of talk through another one of the lessons that you learned as you were going through your own individual time? How about choosing joy is always an option?
Yes. And some people debate that because they don't want to believe it. Putting proof that if I can do it, anyone can. My life was miserable. Like when I say miserable, in 2010, the economy was terrible. I was really trying to get my travel business off the ground. It was very stressful. I just lost my dad, who was my favorite person on the planet. And I didn't see the light back then. I didn't know how it was going to go. And then fast forward a couple of years later, I lose my mom and my business is booming, meaning it was successful at this point and financial freedom was something I finally knew the meaning of. But I just discovered none of those material things. And even to this day, like I mentioned earlier, I left San Diego. I left a beautiful house. I walked away from a lot of possessions that I thought were important to me. I think I needed to kind of prove to myself that I could achieve that kind of success, and I did it, and I checked it off the list. But that's not what brings me joy. What brings me joy is living in a beautiful space that I love, being surrounded by people that are uplifting and positive. I've been amazed here on Maui, the community outreach. We have Facebook groups every single day. People are asking, who needs food? Who needs toilet paper? Can I cook? You know, there's chefs donating their services all over the island. A veteran yesterday posted, is anyone going to be near the Krispy Kreme? They don't deliver and I'm craving some. I'm like,
got to get your Krispy Kremes.
That's what brings the guy from me joy. Because I was like, I'll go get the guy some donuts. At that Times a few weeks ago, I probably would have said, this isn't a good conversation. I don't know where the joy is going to come from. I just lost all income for the foreseeable future. Business is crazy. But I couldn't be happier at this moment because I am feeling at peace with the time out. And I'm finding other people are too. People are smiling. People are able to take a breath and see that this, you know, is not going to be the end of the world. It's stressful and it's terrible that people are dying of this terrible virus, and not to diminish any of that.
Right.
But I'm healthy and I need to stay healthy so I can help others and in a place of joy, and teaching people peace and joy at a time when they think it's not possible is truly what's going to bring me joy.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned people kind of debating things, and you know, I've heard, I had a conversation with a group of, empathic mothers, and I was talking about abundance and, you know, I walked into that conversation thinking I was going to talk about how do you connect to abundance when you're not feeling abundant, and right, because a lot of people are losing their jobs, getting furloughed, all of that. But that's not what we ended up talking about. What we ended up talking about was the guilt that they were feeling because they still had their abundance, right? They, for this particular group of women, they had not experienced some of the really awful things and really hard things that are happening. And there's this, you know, they were fighting this idea of, well, what do I do about this? Do I give all my money away, right? Should I give everything to all of these different groups of people? And we really talk about this concept of you can't get poor enough or sad enough or terrified enough to help somebody else. It really is the opposite, right? That as you stay where you can in terms of your own feelings, that's where you get to help lift up the people who who maybe have lost somebody in the pandemic, or somebody, another family who is going through a hardship, or the guy that needs his donuts, right? It's counterintuitive sometimes, but to be able to allow yourself to feel joy and happiness when the whole world is upside down. But it's really, I think, the most important thing that you could do.
Yeah, and I sit in a place, I'm not one extreme or the other. I run a business that doesn't exist right now because there's no travel to sell. So I am being a little more cautious and not as, I'm always generous and I like to donate to everybody's charities and help everybody. But what I'm looking for now is when people put something out that resonates with me, like the Rotary Club here locally offered the opportunity, if you were in a position to do so, they said, they were asking for $25 donations so they could buy gift cards at the local grocery store, and they were taking nominations for families to help, or they were looking for ideas. So I thought about it and I thought, I'm comfortably able to do $50 donation today and feel good about it and help two families. So that doesn't put me in a place where it causes me fear or financial hardship, but at least helping the community in a way that feels comfortable. So I think, and it translates to joy because I like helping people. I don't like when people expect things from me. I've had some family members in the past that thought I was their bank, and I've had to reestablish boundaries with some of those relationships. So it doesn't matter how much money is in the bank. It also is about the relationship and choosing to give it away in ways that do bring you joy and not putting myself in a place where I'm going to feel uncomfortable or unable to help others moving forward. So there is that balance. And I'm also looking for new revenue streams and new ways to generate income based on some things that I've wanted to do in a while. Hell, I might finally start my grain-free chocolate chip cookie business that I make these amazing cookies because I'm celiac and I've had to learn how to make cookies that I love. Every chef I give them to says, you got to sell these. So I don't know what I'm going to do with my, you know, with my downtime, and that doesn't cost a lot for to start. So finding things that bring you joy that maybe are a little unorthodox or a little different than what we expected at this time. It's not what car you drive. It's not what kind of clothes you're wearing or what handbag you have at this point. A friend of mine, an old friend of mine, he's pretty spiritual. He's in New York. He posted, forget wanting a girlfriend who's got fancy clothes and a Birkenback. I want a girl who makes homemade soap. People's values are changing, you know? And I think, I want a guy who knows how to fish and can cook dinner. Like, yeah, it's going to change the world. And people are going to start looking at what brings me joy in a little bit of a different way.
Yeah. And again, you know, we were talking in the last segment about, you know, you get to feel joyful and then you get to feel something else, or you're going to come back. It's not like you have to be joyful 24/7 to get the benefits of it, right? But how can you build into your day moments where you do feel joy? And it, you know, and it's for you. You have to come up with what it is. You know, for me, it is getting out into nature. That's absolutely number one. I have 120 pound Newfoundland that I absolutely adore, and she's definitely a joy spreader and a fur spreader. I don't know if there's anything floating in the air right now, but you know, and playing the piano. That's something that I learned as an adult, and I love doing. So, and it's prioritizing some of those things and giving myself permission not to work 50 hour weeks, 60 hour weeks. I very much schedule my time so that there's flow and there's times for those moments of joy, even when things are feeling, you know, even if, you know, and I will be honest, you know, these last few weeks, I've had a number of people who've said, I'm not going to use your services right now because I'm not sure where things are going to be in 3 months. And that's totally fair. And instead of getting into that spirally place, it's time to play the piano. It's time to go outside and walk the dog or something like that.
Yeah, I agree. But then it's also, the one thing that I'm still staying committed to is working with my spiritual coach, who, you know, and I was due to pay her for our next round of sessions last week, and I didn't even flinch because that's my, like, that's my health at stake. If I take that away and I don't have those weekly phone calls with her, I'm not going to move forward with my business. I'm not going to move forward with my messaging. I need to be held accountable. So that's money that I look at. That's not even a choice. But looking at our health and wellness and our growth is something that is top priority for anybody who really needs to get to that next level.
Absolutely. And that's another one of, and this will be a great place for us to finish, but you know, that's another one of those lessons that you, the chapters I've got stars by, right? Self-care isn't selfish. Health is your wealth, and self-care isn't selfish. We've got to build our own foundations, or we are no good to anybody, right?
Yeah. And I was always told growing up that the opposite, I was selfish if I wanted to spend time alone. Why would I want to be in my room alone and be with my family? And as I've learned, I need that alone time. I'm an introvert, I'm an empath, I need to recharge, as a lot of us do. And that's how I can be a better service to the world at large, if I take care of myself.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's another one of those platitudes, right? Comes out of religion, I think, but, you know, where people say, well, it's better to give than receive. And we, yes, giving is something that is, that can enlarge our hearts. It can be one of those joy moments. It can feel really good, but we can't give out of a dry well, right? No. You just can't.
You also have to be, I've learned to be better and more open at receiving, because the law of giving and receiving states that if somebody wants to take you to lunch or they offer you a gift and you say, oh, no, you know, no, thank you, you're depriving them of their joy. So I also do try to, something else that I learned from Deepak Chopra is gift something to everybody you meet every day. And it doesn't have to be something that costs anything. It can be a smile, a compliment, a flower you pick up. And when I stay conscious and I try to do that, the amount of joy you bring to other people through that is amazing. And maybe we need to kind of leave as a tip. It's just really try to give something to everyone, even if it's just a smile or a compliment.
Oh, I love that. I can feel the expansiveness of that as you say that, right? And what a joy to be able to do that for someone else, right?
It doesn't have to cost anything. And
exactly. Yeah, exactly.
You see, with gratitude, just accept with gratitude and receive gifts that people give to you.
Yeah. Well, Stacey, I am so glad that you've been here for this conversation. It's such a good time to have it. I really appreciate all the wisdom that you've had to share with us. And thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's been wonderful.
Yeah. So just one more time, can you give your email for people to get in touch with you?
Yeah, it's Stacey, no E, so Stacey Maui, Stacey Maui at Charter. charter.net, and on Instagram
at Stacey Hope Small. Super. All right. So we're going to go ahead and take a break. I'm Jennifer Bloom on with Soul Wisdom Abundance, create wealth through, I can't even get my tagline out right now, create wealth through spiritual health. And we've been talking so much about spiritual health today. We're leaning really hard on that today. So we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. And then when we come back, I'm going to share one of the techniques that I really lean on in times of uncertainty. So thank you all for being here, and we'll be right back.
Have you lost a loved one and would desperately love a sign to prove that they are okay? Here's a tip for you. Be curious. Keep an open mind about everything. The proof will come from the most unlikely places. The messages promise to challenge your current beliefs and what you've been taught. Accept and appreciate all, no matter where they come from. I'm Angie Corbett Kuiper. I would love for you to share your signs from beyond on my closed Facebook page, Beyond Grief.
Are you ready to transform your life and embrace magical experiences? Talking to Tanis with your host, Tanis McRae, is here to help you find your joy in life. Tune in live every first and third Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Let's awaken your experience and create the change necessary to take back your right to choose who you are. For more about Tanis, visit TalkingToTanis.com.
Stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Ober. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Ober. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyober.com. That's drkathyober.com.
If you struggle with fear and anxiety, you know how powerless and stuck these emotions can make you feel. You've tried everything, but nothing helped you overcome these blocks. Dr. Friedman Schaub, award-winning author of The Fear and Anxiety Solution, created a special program which helped thousands of his clients to become healthy, happy, and confident again. Learn how to eliminate negative self-talk, let go of your emotional baggage, and replace limiting beliefs. With Dr. Friedman's accelerated program, you can break through your challenges. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com.
Are you meeting your sales goals? Or maybe your business plan could use a dose of the divine? Tune in to Divinely Driven Results with faith-based business coach Elise Smith on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Coach Elise Smith helps listeners get unstuck from their business plateau and become empowered through divine guidance. Build up belief in yourself and your dreams and learn business strategies that work for you for real lasting results. Learn more by visiting www.DivinelyDrivenResults.com.
Welcome back to Soul Wisdom Abundance with me, your host, Jennifer Bloom. We've been talking today all about different focuses and different strategies and different ideas that can help you as you're navigating a time of uncertainty. And what I'd like to, finish the conversation today is by sharing one of my favorite techniques in a little bit more depth than we were able to do earlier. And so this particular technique is based out of the law of polarity. So the law of polarity says with whatever's been created, its equal and opposite has also been created. And what that means to me when I hear that is anytime there's a problem, a solution has already been created as well. So the good news about that is as we are living through a time of pain or sadness or grief or lack of abundance, you can be certain that the solution is already present. We just simply need to be able to be, the word I use is alignment. We need to be in alignment with the solution rather than the problem. And when you're in a place of fear or worry, or you're trying hard with your head, your mind, to create a solution, you're really actually still in the energy of the problem. And that pushes away the universe from being able to, the universe being able to bring you the solution, right? We like to push ahead. We like to make things happen. But if we allow ourselves to take a step aside from the problem and come into the solution energy, which I'll speak about in just a moment, we're now engaging the universe's help in being able to draw to us things that are going to be a solution. So the way that I match myself up with the solution is to very simply ask to be the energy of the solution. Colleague of mine, as we talk about this particular technique, she talks about being in the consciousness of the solution. So whatever language helps make makes more sense to you, you can use either one of those. And as you start to use this language, and you can use it in some specific ways, which I'll talk about in just a second, what you're doing, again, is you're moving out of the problem space and into the solution space. And now, when you're in that solution space, you become much more magnetic, much more attractive to things showing up for you. Now, the way I like to work with it is to, I like using something like EFT. You can use it as a mantra. You could simply sort of have in the back of your mind saying, I ask to be the energy of the solution. I ask to be the consciousness of the solution. If you have a lot of emotion around the problem, if it feels like you're going to keep slipping back into the problem, using a technique like EFT or emotional freedom technique, which is a technique that I've talked about a little bit on this podcast, but it's a technique that allows you to clear out of your energy system, out of your meridians, that blocks to what you don't want, and it allows you to bring into your energy field things that you do want. So, and it's also a body-based technique. It uses your pairing language with acupressure points. So you're tapping on different acupressure points. So when you've got a body-based system like that, when you're pairing it with language, it really helps you embody what it is you want to be. Okay. You could also turn the phrase being the energy of the solution into a prayer. So divine intelligence, fill me with the energy of the solution. Right. And again, as you do this, you are inviting divine source, universe, God, goddess, whatever your name is for that, which is more than we are, to start to bring you solutions. I was working with a client one time, and she had a really challenging tax situation. She and the IRS had been going back and forth about some challenging numbers and things that the IRS said that they owed, she and her husband owed. And she's like, okay, the more I spin in this, the more I go through the paperwork, the more I'm just involved in the problem. And so she practiced the energy of the solution, and she, it was so funny. She called me the next morning and she said, I had a breakthrough. And she came up with an idea that she, you know, she'd been puzzling with this for months, and she came up with an idea that was going to allow her to move through this particular issue with a lot more ease, with a lot more grace. And it, she went on to work with the IRS, and things worked out. So this is about opening yourself up to ideas. It's about opening yourself up to solutions that you can't puzzle out with your head. And I think that, you know, when we are in times of, you know, unprecedented times, like we're living through, we can't just puzzle through things. We're being asked to expand into new places for ourselves, new places for how we are in community, new places for how we're going to come together as a nation and as a world. And we're not going to be able to do things like we used to. And for the most part, even though there's a little bit of pain and suffering that comes along with that, if we keep ourselves open to new solutions, if we keep ourselves open to co-creating with the divine, God, goddess, again, whatever your name for it is, we are going to be able to come through this with a lot more grace, with a lot more ease, and a lot more of an abundance flow. And, you know, as I say that, you know, I spoke about in the last segment about speaking with people who have that sense of guilt, of being in a good position. And I think no matter what side you're on, whether you are on in that place of pain and suffering, or whether you're in a place of good flow and ease, we get to continue these practices. We get to start saying, how do I want to do this differently? What can I expect more of? How can I move into a life that has more flow and abundance and ease? Right? It's okay to do that. It's okay to ask for that. Even though this time, you know, I know I've heard a lot of healers and spiritual people talk about this is our time to pause. This is our time to see what we want to expand into. This is a time to erase capitalism. I mean, there's a lot of things that are coming out, but in my humble opinion, abundance is something that is ours, and maybe it's going to look different, and how we distribute that abundance is going to look different. And maybe if we each can take on our own abundance, when we can be the energy of the solution, when we can come closer to being more of a sovereign being in relationship to money, we are now completely changing world structure. All right. So whether you're in a place of pain and suffering, whether you are in an okay position and just sort of uncertain how life is going to look in a couple of months, it's okay to keep pushing forward. It's okay to ask for more. And when you do it from that space of the being the energy of the solution, you are doing it in partnership with the divine and in partnership with your own soul. And the more you can do that, the more you're going to have a solution that makes your heart sing and feel really good. Right? So much we could talk about. Could talk about this for hours and hours. We're going to leave it here for now. So thank you all for being present. I'm really delighted, happy to answer any questions that you have. But thank you for, again, tuning in to Soul Wisdom Abundance here the first and third Fridays of each month. And I'm really looking forward to speaking with you again next time. Until then, everyone, prosperous blessings, and I'll talk with you soon.
Thank you for listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about Jennifer Bloom or listen to past shows, visit JenniferBloom.com. You can subscribe to this podcast on any of your favorite podcasting outlets. Simply search Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom.